Podcasting is a complicated profession, which is why we're here to discuss Skeleton Crew, which has just finished its run on Disney Plus. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined by the rest of my fellow hoverbike riding kids. Kat Benish is here. Hi, Kat.
Claimsies.
Tony Sindelar is also here. Hello, Tony.
Wizard. They didn't actually say that in this one. I guess they used all those earlier in the previous episodes.
Yeah, we're not left. We are quota wizards.
I feel like, you know, you make a sweet jump over a ditch, you get to say wizard.
Dad was pretty excited when he made that jump.
Yeah, no, I think that jump, I've got like 5 minutes of thoughts on that jump. And apparently, no one's stopping now.
Welcome to Tony's jump corner.
Do you want me to get a whiteboard out and talk about
it would be helpful if we could draw some angles.
Is this like a conspiracy theory that it shouldn't have worked?
No, it's just, I think that jump is symbolic of, you know, the dad is there, and he's like, no, you can't go do the dangerous stuff. We just need to wait in the house.
Would you say it's a leap of faith?
Yes, that is what I would say it is. And that it is basically, in doing that jump, he is ceding all paternal authority to
Well, and the golf, and the golf represents children becoming young adults.
Yes.
They cross the liminal space.
He is recognizing, okay, Dan's, all right, Dan.
I actually do think the liminal space does play a large role in this. So, like, let's double click on that liminal space.
Do we have to talk about this? Hold on. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of synergies between what we're saying. If Dan's going to use all these wonderful words, and I realize I come off as pretending that I love words, but I'm just going to come back with all the corporate jargon.
I like when Dan pretends to do corporate jargon because it's so clear that Dan has not worked an office job in 2 decades.
I don't honestly know.
His
references are like archival Dilbert posts or something.
I think it's your third book. We once had an entire argument. You were at one point described a character as like a businessman, and like, I guess that is a real term that I stated out loud, but it was like the way it was like, I do business.
That's like, no, not at all what happened.
I don't see how two people could have a difference of opinion about what a conversation was like. I'm going to go with the cat. Anyway, I think that is when Wim's dad is like, okay, Wim is one of the main characters of the show. I'm just along for the ride.
I'm a supporting character.
Yeah, I'm a supporting character. I know what I'm doing
they
here.
Had as well.
Okay, but we have business to attend to before we start delving into this.
We won't.
Yeah, that's true.
We won't.
The dice are ready.
Their dice are loaded?
The dice... Please,
they shouldn't be loaded.
Don't shoot craps. All right. So, as back by demand,
did anyone demand it? Did anyone complain last time?
One complained. People enjoy it. I've got mail.
We're gonna roll it. So it's neither demand nor complaint. They're just saying they liked it.
They're praise back by praise.
That's kind of demand.
Okay. We're gonna roll a d6 and we're gonna figure out who's gonna do the.
So 1-2 is Tony. 3-4 is Cat.
Buckle your shoe. Oh, sorry.
5-6 is Dan.
I think this die rolls low.
That's a 5. That's
Mother
Dan.
Hubbard.
Dan.
All right. And now.
I'm hiding my summary.
Yeah, turn off your Wordle.
It's not. I'm not doing Wordle during the show.
I just like that Cat thinks that just calls an iPad a Wordle.
I'm playing Galaga.
Close your Wordle box. We got stuff to do.
All right. I'm now rolling a D4. No, a D20.
D20.
Oh, wow. Natural 20.
Oh, maybe it should be a D12. Maybe it should be a D12 next season.
I think a D20 is too much. Yeah. Do you want to redo that?
It's up to Dan.
You put the dice away already.
Dan, do you have inspiration on this roll?
You do.
Would that mean re-rolling it or getting another die? Is that how inspiration works?
Silvery barbs that 20?
What, so I get to 1?
Yeah.
The kids win, period.
Jude Law is still a national treasure.
That's two sentences. We can't do that.
Cat, please re-roll that die.
The DM says I have to re-roll it.
Yep. Wow. I didn't. I have absolute power in one specific area.
11.
Okay.
I think 11.
Yeah,
11 sounds better.
Yeah. I think D12.
I think D20 is too much. Yeah, D12 going forward. I also don't want to count to 20.
Yeah, I really don't. That was my thing.
It's too high to count.
It's like too much paperwork.
Okay.
All right. So for people who are like, what is going on?
Why are you listening if you have no idea what's going on?
Why are you listening to this? We have randomly selected that Dan's going to do the recap, and he must do it in 11 sentences.
I will say,
what
I
counts
used to...
as a sentence will be determined by Victor Borgia.
I did used to, when Lost was on air, I used to just watch random episodes, and I still maintain I was never more confused than anyone else watching that show.
I think that's debatable, but okay.
No, I was going to talk about a coworker who I think about a lot who was very confused, but she didn't understand that Lost and Survivor were different shows.
All right, you were never more confused than one person.
You know, Western Massachusetts is like a special game preserve for people that are like high all the time.
So, who should not be allowed to like live in other places under their own power, basically.
Certainly shouldn't be operating heavy machinery. So,
all right, 11 sentences.
Yeah.
One.
Jod lets all the kids and their families go home, but under the watch of the droids.
Two.
Fern and her mom go with Jod to see the supervisor.
Three.
In a confrontation with the supervisor, who turns out to be a droid, Jod pretends to be a Jedi and a Republic emissary, which ends up biting him when the supervisor reveals that all Jedi are traitors to the Republic.
Yep.
That was a great,
great, great,
great
moment.
Order 66 callback.
Also, real sassy droid administrator. Which of your lies are lies, you lying liar?
I mean, if you have Stephen Fry, like, it's, yeah. Bring it.
Yep. Four.
Four?
Unfortunately, Jod has a lightsaber, which he uses to stab the supervisor in the eye, thus knocking out all the droids and all of the power throughout AT-ATN.
Damned your cursed but inevitable betrayal.
But
five?
Not before.
Wait.
You can take the butt out. It's fine. Not before making contact with the pirate ship and allowing it to pass through the barrier unheated so that it flies over the city. In a really eerie scene with everybody freaking out about pirates.
Yeah. That was really, like, people really like,
this is like
encounters.
The second spaceship that's flown by today. We can't deal with this.
Those are the only two spaceships in the last 50 years.
Also, yeah. it just looks like a malevolent spaceship. Like, this spaceship does not have good vibes. Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It has real, like, evil Riz. Mm-hmm. Did I use that
that's
right?
Not quite, but it's okay. No? We know what you meant. You would say Ohio Riz.
It's definitely not Ohio Riz.
Oh, no, it is Ohio Riz.
You think it's Ohio Riz?
Yes.
I thought Ohio Riz played in the band Jabba's Palace.
Ohio Riz, I thought was like, it's vanilla evil, not like evil evil. Like, it's boring, banal evil that's just like,
I think
like J.D.
That
Vance
we collect-
evil.
I think that we... why do you keep invoking him on this podcast? also...
Oh, no, Ohio Riz is because of J.D. Vance, right?
Is it? I don't know.
I'm like 99% sure. Anyways,
I'm like counting collectively what number sentence you were on.
I think we're on collectively.
I think we have about two decades of out of date for this. Maybe four. I don't know. We're not qualified for this conversation.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If you're a
this
tween and you're listening to this podcast,
we would like
tell
to
your
hire
parents
you.
That you don't want to listen anymore. You know, dive and roll out of your parents' minivan. They can't stop you. Run free.
Where were we?
Six.
I think six.
Wim and Neil and KB hop on hover bikes to go after Fern, knowing that she's in the supervisor tower and thus is in some danger. And Wendell follows after, commandeering a bike from one of the punks we saw in the first episode.
I will say, just a note, I do really love, I think this episode did a great job of callbacks to all the previous episodes. And that was like, pretty sure that's the guy who tried to challenge KB and Fern to a bike race, right?
Yeah.
Oh, was that the, Bob Falfa.
Oh, the Bob Falfa joke? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What? Yep.
That's the joke that references American Graffiti, which was then referenced by creating the character Boba Fett.
Yes.
Boba Fett comes from a character named Bob Falfa in American
That's
Graffiti.
Right. We
played
had
by
this
Harrison.
Conversation. I forgot we had this conversation.
You didn't remember?
I do not
that,
miss this conversation.
You block that part out and not the other things?
Can we go back to talking about Ohio Riz?
Yeah. Seven.
Okay.
Maybe eight? I think it's eight?
No.
I think it's seven.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm not strong.
A large battle slash chase scene takes place in which the pirates run rampant through AT-ATN and start rounding up all the citizens, and all the kids on hover bikes are chased by other pirates trying to kill them. Neil is thrown off.
Whoa. You had... That was a...
semicolon, Neil is thrown off in the school while the rest of them go to the tower. Yes? Is Siri just transcribing what I'm saying? Am I an 8?
I think you're on 9, but if you want to say you're an 8, fine.
This whole thing has an asterisk next to it.
Yeah, we can't report these scores.
KB gets on the ship while Wim and his dad sneak up into the tower in order to take on Jod. They attempt some shenanigans, but are ultimately only partially successful as Wendell manages to release the docking clamp holding the Onyx Cinder in place.
And, period.
And?
Okay, so we're on sentence 10 or 11? 10?
It was not my job to keep track.
10. This is not your 10th sentence.
No, I think it was 9.
No, I just said 9.
This is going great. If you didn't interrupt me for digressions on J.D. Vance and Ohio Riz every 30 seconds, I could probably have gotten through this by now.
If you didn't want me here, you wouldn't invite me on the podcast.
There's a long fight over whether or not the barrier can get taken down, but they eventually manage to do it, teaming up against Jod and bringing the New Republic that KB has summoned by taking the Onyx Cinder up into the atmosphere to contact Kim.
11-ish.
The X-Wings destroy the pirates. Jod sees himself snatch a defeat from the jaws of victory, and though Wim calls out for him as they flee the supervisor's tower, he merely gives a small wistful smile as if to say, well played.
Yeah, and I
and
think
you are done.
You're
that's
done.
The end of the episode, pretty much.
And no mention of KB collapsing in a pile of
she's
money.
Cold.
Yeah, so every child's dream is to crash a spaceship full of money into their high school.
So, I guess I don't have to take assessment after all. I do love the once again, the complete disdain and just ignoring of giant spaceships crashing on cities.
Yep.
Don't care.
So I want to be clear. I think there's lots of things in this episode that are kind of silly / I have comments on, but I enjoyed the ride. I think this episode was what I expected it to be. You know, it's got a fun chase sequence. There's standoffs with stuff. We get a little bit of Jod's backstory finally. You know, you get to decide whether you believe a guy like Jod or not. I feel like this checked all the boxes that I expected, even if sometimes the way it did it was like, don't pay attention. We're moving real fast. We're zigzagging our speeder bike through through the streets. Don't pay attention to, like, does the timing of all this stuff make sense? Do any of the plans that people put in motion really make sense vis-a-vis the barrier and sending messages for help and all that? You know, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I wholeheartedly agree. I really enjoy this. It made me laugh in several points from just like the Order 66 being like,
yes,
yeah,
that
was great.
Key.
And
yeah.
Then also Neil once again randomly being in Bath. Like that just made me giggle.
He's just
he's been away
for a while.
Moisturized.
He could be like an amphibian. Maybe he was all dried out for like that whole week there in space. That would have been really
it's
bad.
Possible. And then also finally explaining why we had the parkour, French parkour in space episode to explain there's a gun on top of the
turret.
School.
Which, like, did the story really need? No. But whatever.
It's
whatever.
Fine.
Neil got to do something, right?
John ended about where I expected. I was still expecting. Yeah. I was with you, Tony. I thought he was going to end up in a vault, but I thought this was a nice, like, that wistful smile was nice. I'm sure he's going to show up again somewhere.
I thought. Jod is a strange character, and I think Jude Law did I don't know what this would have looked like with an actor of not Jude Law's caliber, because Jude Law does some Jude Law's character Jod does some pretty evil things. I mean, you know, there was even the thing where like the previous episode ended with him like holding the lightsaber, and then this episode started with like, never mind, can put that back in my
normal way for an emissary to say hi to everyone.
Just waves lightsaber around.
By the way, they mentioned him a Jedi. Wink.
Yeah. Zing. It's good that it's not one of those things where it's like, my katana can only be received once it has tasted blood. Yeah. my burnt fingertips. But like, he threatens a lot of people. He manages an organization with really bad standards. But like, he still comes off as kind of just he's got that roguish smile. I don't feel bad for him. He does the speech where maybe, you know, he wants people to feel bad for him, but I don't think the show necessarily needs you to buy into that so much as understand where he's coming from. But it is, it, you know, he is a kids show villain at the end of the day. Not, he doesn't work for the emperor. He is not someone here to like torture people and be cruel. And he even has the like, this didn't have to be like this, right? Like, I didn't.
Yeah, but I'm sure he was,
I don't
like,
want to be shooting people, but I am shooting at children.
You're making
just so
me
we're
do
clear.
This.
Yeah. You're making me do this. I'm firing a gun at children. I'm not happy about it either.
The only person I think we really see him kill is Brutus, and Brutus is, is even the worst bad guy.
Yes.
So yeah, a little bit of this. I was going to jokingly say this. I was like, I'm in. And it was one heck of a meet cute for him and Fern's mom. So like, I'm looking forward to season two.
Yeah, I did wonder about, and this could be a critique of the character, not a character plan, not the writing of the episode. It's like, what is your plan exactly, right? Like, you have a vault full of money, you have infinite money, and it's like, but they're pirates. They can't just walk away. They can't sneak away in the night with a ship full of money. They've got to murder some innocent people to call it a day. So bring your ships down and just cruise around shooting a bunch of people.
I think my read of that was him trying to give the pirates what he like thinks they want, which is like looting, because he can't convince them to be like, all right, come down here. And now you are the new analyst.
You are the administrators. Yeah.
Welcome. I know you only got forced into a life of piracy because the means for having a legitimate career were out of your grasp. So come down. We will give you a college education.
Yeah.
Like, you each wish you were assigned a level 7 systems engineer.
Yeah. Each of you get assigned a slide rule and, you know.
Yeah. So I kind of get it. And I also understand, like, you know, why he thought this was a good place. He's like, okay, we got the barrier, right? Like, nobody's going to bother us. We've got all the money. Like, we can control here because nobody else is going to stop us from, like, controlling this.
Yeah, it's a golden goose. It's fundamentally a goose.
And
a golden
egg. You can see as he, like, starts letting it slip through his fingers and realizing it's going out of his control. And, like, just, it is literally,
I would have gotten away from it if it weren't for you meddling kids.
Yeah.
Well, there's even a line where the pirates are like, yeah, we're killing everyone who gets in our way. And he's like, we don't. We might need them. Like, don't. Yeah, like,
they run the mint.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, and I like that. I like that aspect, too, because while he is certainly a person who does bad things, you do get the idea that he is like walking that razor's edge there of like, I don't actually want to be a villain. Like,
I feel like
people.
he's almost the dog that catches the car.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Where it's like, What do I do now? Yeah, I got it. Vaults of immense wealth. What do I do?
And like, I did appreciate we finally got a little too of his backstory and the answer, like, why does he know some Jedi tricks? And the fact that he was a gutter rat, and he was a Jedi was found and then they were killed, right? So, and so it was like betrayed, and like, I think it is a very traumatic, sad childhood.
Yeah. And so let's see. There were a variety of questions we had about various characters going into the final episode. What's the deal with the supervisor? That's clearly explained. Robot, always been a robot. The parents are confused that you would even be surprised that it's a robot. Of course, it's a robot.
I'm fascinated by that a little bit, because when we see at Akron...
Well, we know droids aren't people, so like, it's... I'm kidding.
When we see at Akron earlier in the season, we see the same tower.
But not necessarily the same room, right?
Well, you see the pillars. When they go into the supervisor's house on top, you see the pillars.
But they didn't have
a droid, and which made me
wonder.
And
we don't necessarily know what, because they were the jewels of the older Republic.
Yeah, they may not have all been mints.
They may not all be mints.
But it is also a question of whether or not maybe the supervisor was put in place later on after the others fell. Unclear. Because we also know about the barrier either.
I'm still confused about the Renna timing too, because I think it worked out like they said. Renna was killed by his crew in a mutiny, right?
And maybe, so I'm wondering, because I thought that was, for example, one of our mysteries was, where's the captain? Why did you not show us his face in the holo recording?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a credit for who plays him anywhere, right? So, it seemed like the identity of Tak Renna was a mystery. Maybe it is still a mystery, and and I feel like there's a lot of stuff in this show that people could make comic books and video games are out, and that's fine. And you don't need to answer all the questions in the show.
Good.
But also maybe Tak Renna was like one of those skeletons in the stateroom in the Onyx Cinder. Cause like they were pulling hats off of dead guys. And it's like, maybe one of those was Tak Renna and he's been here all along.
I don't know if
it doesn't matter.
Confirmed, but I've seen several suggestions online that they believe the tech-rented voice actor was Sam Witwer.
Which Who's that?
He voices Darth Maul in all the animated stuff. He voices the Emperor for a little while. He is like he's a talented voice actor who's done a lot of Star Wars work.
Mm-hmm. Interesting they chose not to credit him. And like, maybe it's like, well, maybe you'll see Tack-Rented again in some other thing. Maybe you never will. Whatever. It's
Tack-Rented
fine.
Tack-Rented will return in the Mandalorian movie.
Technically, Tack-Rented wasn't in this one, so can
he will
return
for the first time.
Other questions? SM33, he's fine.
Knew it. Called it. 100% called it.
Yeah.
None of you, well, both of you owe me ice cream.
No, I think I said, of course he'd be fine. There's a recording.
There's ice cream sandwiches in the fridge.
Those don't, that doesn't count, Dan.
Why are they in the fridge?
Yeah.
Eat it fast.
Yeah. Dan likes them melty.
You both declined that.
There's cookies with dippable ice cream in the fridge.
Oh, dippable ice cream?
Ice cream soup.
Just cream. We call that cream. And, you know, SM33, almost dead twice, and then he gets cut in half, and then it's later on a spaceship that maybe crash lands. But it's okay, because it landed
in
the gym.
Even the little mouse is okay.
The little mouse is okay. I don't know what you do with SM33 now. It's like, you live in suburbia now. Welcome. You know, he'll adapt.
I'm just picturing him working at the local grocery store or something. Ah, would you like pirate plastic or paper?
But the ship can be fixed. So like, and Wim now wants to go off and be a New Republic pilot, right? It's like, SM33 is not stuck there.
I do like that it's like, I saw a plane yesterday. I want to be a pilot.
That seems cool.
It's like, kid, you hadn't heard of an X-Wing until today. New Republic in this lawless world, real generous. One phone call, you get like 20 ships there, including B-Wings doing that thing, the special attack where they put the four lasers together.
That was cool.
I think we'd seen in animation, but not
laser
in live
cannons?
Action.
Maybe.
Yeah, like I don't know.
Heavy cannons.
Mm. Yeah. Like one phone call, and they're there. They're at a planet that
Do you know who that owl is? That owl cat is. That's a big deal.
Okay, but literally, they show up to a planet that no one knew existed until like a minute ago. And they're like, we are here to kill pirates.
My
no
theory
questions
is
asked.
The New Republic is ineffective at everything else that they got to take those wins where they can get them. They're like, defeat the remnants of the Empire floating out there. That is a heart. Like, that's a big one. Like, we got to go.
There's
pirates?
One pirate ship? We got that.
Maybe headcanon, they know that pirate ship, right? Because they show up, no questions asked.
Hate those guys.
They're not. Yeah, because they're like, what if that had just been another thing floating over the city? No time. We're blowing this up. We've never been to this planet before.
Are you telling me that Gunter is flying that pirate ship? Oh, we hate that guy.
And Vane?
I think Vane was in one of the little
skiffs.
Like,
he shows up a couple times.
He's
the most important character in the show. Of course he's there.
I was a little. I mean, they didn't. Gunter didn't really get to do anything in the entire show.
Urkel. It's Jaleel.
He's yeah, he's on the bridge of the ship when it like blows up. A lot of pirates die.
But
so many dead pirates.
But they're pirates. They're slight. They're just marginally above droids.
It's unclear if they survive. They're not all dead.
The hierarchy. So just we're building it up here. Droids.
Yep.
Ninjas.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Stormtroopers? Pirates?
Pirates have different faces.
No. It depends on the type of droids. So like, those battle droids, which I'd say are the lowest.
Yeah.
And then above battle droids, I think like your R5,
sorry, I was
your
thinking,
I-2,
yeah,
your
I was
astromechs
thinking,
are actually, think, quite high up.
Yes. Well, they have distinct names. No, yeah. Stan, he's fine. He's been in so many important places, if only he remembered.
Yeah. Battle droids, though, I think are just fodder. Pure fodder.
Yeah.
Poor battle droids.
Yeah. Well, you know. And you know, we talked last time about how generous they are with their policy for just letting people walk in. I'm just gonna say, as a general InfoSec security policy, it's one thing to invite unnamed, unidentified guy who shows up on an authorized ship into your vault.
He had a lightsaber, Tony.
He has lightsaber. It's another thing that basically you give him brute administrative access to your droids where he can enforce martial law. Where it's like, yeah, round up these kids and keep an eye on them. And it's like, they have that kind of authority here? You can just say, you can say that?
There was a whole bit here of like, it's a little like, not really believable to your point.
And again, it's like, and don't worry about it.
It's a kid show, right? And I also think the word of like, kids might not realize. I will say, it was like, the kids could just talk and like, the droid's gonna do anything. But then the droid actually was a little terrifying with Wim when he had to pretend he was playing with his action figures.
So we've talked about it a couple times before. I guess I'm curious, how do you feel about this episode slash the show as a whole? Is this a kid show or is this a family show?
Family show. I think very clearly a family show at the end of the day. And I do that purely by the metric of I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this a lot.
You are a family, technically. So
And it made me laugh. It was fun. It was lighthearted, but there was some tension. It was very well executed, I thought, for what it was. And it was just it was very fresh and fun. So to me overall, I think compared to the suite of Star Wars shows we've seen over the past 3 years, again, Andor's top. First two seasons of Mandalorian are right up there too. But I would probably put this next. I like the Book of Obi-Wan, not the Book of Obi-Wan. I could just keep forgetting about the Obi-Wan show and then everything else. Let's not talk about it. But this was really fun. I really, really enjoyed this. I don't know if we'll get another season. I don't need another season.
I don't feel that it needs one.
But I liked the people who worked on this and what they produced, and I would love to see what they do next. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I would agree it's a family show for me. I can imagine watching this with our kids someday, and I think they would enjoy it. Probably when they are a little bit older.
I will say I was upset they destroyed the bus. The pirates take out the bus.
Yeah, they did. Blown up a lot of infrastructure.
It was like, it was cool specifically down. Like, we're going to show you stuff that you saw before getting blown up. Just so you clear, like the bus they were on, like the bus stop.
Just in
case
you're wondering where they were. They're still on AT-AT. I enjoyed this a lot. I think it knows very much the thing it wants to be. It had a really clear idea of that. Yes, I think that one episode on the French planet is, you know, a weak link in this.
Mon Dieu.
Mon Dieu, sacré bleu. But feels a little bit like maybe they had to stretch some stuff out a little bit. Like, again, as a 6-episode show, maybe just you tighten up a little the couple of those loose screws.
I don't think it would have worked, actually, at 6.
Okay.
I think there were 7 solid episodes there.
Yeah. I think the kids were great. I think they all have great moments in this last episode. To pick out a few, Wim, both the scene where he plays with the action figures and him, the scene where they wheel the hover bikes out while Wendell is trying to figure out how to start the car is a real good one. When he tries to fool Jod by making up a bizarre story about the crystals he found in the Jedi army, and Jod's like, well, Jedi are all dead, man. Like, all that was good. It was good to see him come into his own a little bit. Fern's got some great scenes with both. His one look that she's given to Jod at one point when he's got the lightsaber on her mom. And just being like, she's got like her jaw like out.
Yeah, Fern was phenomenal.
Really good.
I thought.
And I like that she has the moment where she sort of pleads with her mom to like believe in her. I feel like maybe they could have done a little bit more with that. Like, we saw a little bit of their relationship in the very first episode. But I felt like maybe a little bit more development there wouldn't have hurt. But I think the actress who played Fern was great. KB, one scene I noticed with her was when she's on the ship and she's trying to fix it while it's going down. She flips her visor up at one point, which I was reading in the interview with the actress who plays her, Kiriana Crowder, talking about, they're like asking why does the visor go up and down at some points. It talks about her sort of like, it's her putting a screen between her and the world, and essentially like when she's maybe a little scared, she like flips it down. And it was like the sort of breakthrough there where she's like, this is a really scary thing where I am like crashing to the ground, but she flips it up so she can go fix the thing, which I thought was a nice little
depiction
moment.
Of all four kids is pretty, I mean, I don't know, I guess I don't watch a ton of stuff of this type, but like, they're not annoying, they feel authentic. I don't know how we count Neil, who I assume is voiced by not a kid slash is
no,
portrayed
it's a kid.
By
yeah, it's a kid, it's a kid voice. Yeah.
Him too on set, and I think he's used for some of them. But okay. the face is a combination of
CGI and physical stuff. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They all feel authentic in a way that I'm perhaps not used to child characters feeling. Which I guess is a pretty key to the heart of this show.
The vibe that this reminds me the most of in recent years is the Willow show.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Which we talked about a bit.
Yeah.
And a show that's great that you, I don't think, can watch anywhere right now, which is a bummer.
Oh, so good.
But is very, very good if you happen to get a chance. But it has a similar sort of family-friendly vibe to it.
Kids get along. It's a very similar sort of tone with the kids. Like, I like how you describe it, Tony. It's like they're not annoying, but they're still kids, and we treat them as such, but they're in their own.
They're not written
kid
like
logic, but like,
yes, they're not written like small adults.
Yeah.
No,
but
no,
they're also not written like
idiots.
Whiny, idiots. Right.
Yeah. Like, like we're on their side in the point that we're like last week when Jod is like telling them that they're like whiny brats. We're like, you guys are all right.
You're pretty good.
Yeah. And it's like, they're from an easy, pretty easygoing suburb, and you're apparently from like dirt town, but like, ease up, dude.
They're just kids.
They're just kids.
They got this far. I like the ending with Jod with that little smile being like, I tried.
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
It really does.
One of the choices I found so much. One of the choices I found fascinating in this episode is essentially the total lack of any denouement. Like there is nothing after the end. It just goes.
You sure think there'd be something like, especially because they're kids, it's like, you know, school's out and they're on summer break, or here's he gets his results back from the exam and he failed, or Jod's in a spooky cantina somewhere or something. Yeah. There's so many things
that says to me, my sort of reading of that is kind of, part of me wonders if they felt like, we don't really know if they'll ask for more, so we don't really know, like, we don't want to do a capper where it's like, and Wim grew up to become a New Republic pilot, and Fern grew up to be the leader of the galaxy, and they're like, well, are we going to need to do more? We probably shouldn't put something too final on it.
Spider-Man 2 is basically they're going to take a school trip to Coruscant and go from there.
Well, they're going to have to, Jod is going to have to like be in prison, and then they're going to have to work with him. It's, like, oh, we don't want to work with that guy. It's like, but I've changed, you know.
And it's tricky because, you know, this has been a show that is so Star Wars, but it is apart from Star Wars, right? Yeah. I mean, the Empire is not present here. The New Republic is only present basically as like some, like, they show us faces of the pilots, but they might as well just be spaceships that fly by. We are on planets that are not planets we've seen before. We don't spend half the show on Tatooine reasons. You know, it has relatively few of those like Star Wars kind of classic signifiers while still being very much in the
Star Wars, which
and
is,
like yeah. I would say what I don't need is a skeleton crew where they go to a planet I've heard of before. You know,
I think that's just,
we all got summer break on Tatooine. It's all beach
to the beach. I think that's a really good point, and I think it's one of the things I many fans have kind of hoped for is shows that are a little bit more like, look, you've got a gigantic galaxy to play with. Let's see some stuff that we've never seen before, do things we've never done before. And to a point of the things we've discussed more recently, like the stakes get a little bit larger in this episode, but they're still not save the galaxy stakes, right?
No. And I think fundamentally, I don't think it's any surprise the shows that are, in our minds, most successful are the shows that step outside of like the very defined box of Star Wars, right?
And
those
hard,
are the most interesting.
I feel like The Acolyte took a big step outside of that, but didn't follow through on the promise as much as we would have liked, right?
That was
a big swing for The Acolyte.
It was. I still enjoyed The Acolyte a lot. Actually, I realized I didn't include it in my ranking. Like, I like this more, but I still liked The Acolyte a lot. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
It didn't. Yeah, I think we had issues with the way it all tied together at the
very
end.
There's a lot of loosey-goosey writing
in it. I think
it was
like execution. Script and execution would hurt there, but the script and the ideas were great, and the acting was phenomenal. So it was good. They tried.
Yeah,
look at that.
Good effort.
I do appreciate that, and I hope this. I hope the success of this and the critical success of Andor are enough to encourage, you know, Lucasfilm to keep sort of letting people come up with wild ideas in the Star Wars.
Dave Filoni has requisitioned all the money and resources. And it's just going to put out a bunch of live action things.
Everybody's locked in the volume. Sorry.
Did we ever get the answer of when this takes place again?
It's roughly in the same period as the other, like Ahsoka and Mandalorian.
Because I would love
Kat, you have your connecting. How could you forget? Vane the pirate.
Who appeared in season three
of The Mandalorian working for another pirate. So clearly this is different. Yeah. And a significant time has passed because he has worked his way up to a mid-level role in this pirate crew. How could you miss that?
No, I was thinking of like, oh man, I'd love like a Jod and Lando buddy cop. Because I was thinking like Jod actually think would be a good video game character, but then I realized that you're actually in the middle of playing Outlaws, Dan. Which is actually very largely what this would have been.
Except more charming and more fun.
Well, it's just they made a Jod video game, but it's just him in prison for a decade.
Until some kids come along.
What was the video game that the two of you guys played together that was you're in prison together and it's a two-player game?
Oh,
it's called like Get Out or something?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
No, I don't remember. Way Out.
It's a co-op.
No Way Out.
Game. All right, here's our side thing where we have a video game podcast inside of our podcast because Dan and I are middle-aged men who do not play very many video games. And that's who you want to hear about from video games. A Way Out is a 2018 cooperative action-adventure game developed by Hazel Lake Studios, published by Electronic Arts. It is a game you can play with two people. You play as brothers. It is a game that is clearly made in Europe. I think that this game is a special thing where there's so many places in media where Americans are doing bad non-American accents that it is something special to have a bunch of maybe Eastern European voice actors attempting to do American accents poorly is a special thing that we should appreciate.
Add some charm to it.
All right, that's the end of Game Corner. Check
it
back.
It's a great game. There was a big twist at the end, which I loved.
When Dan and Tony play one more game.
Do we want to shift to listener mail?
Sure.
Unless there's listener more to say about the show?
No. I think we're good. We'll have some more business at the end, but let's talk about some mail first.
Bunky Dunko, Mail Corner.
The Holonet? Are we going to the Holonet? Is that what it is? I don't know. You gave me the most...
It's Bunky Dunko Mail Corner, Dan. Sorry. Get it together.
I did hear the theme song that was on me.
Kat, it's like he doesn't read your emails.
Yeah, I know. I've always thought of the Holonet as like a TV channel. Is the Holonet just the internet?
It is basically the internet.
But it's like controlled by the government.
Yeah.
Like the internet. No.
Ban TikTok.
Illiterate. As a reminder, you can reach us. Four letters or on the Holonet or at the Bunky Dunko Mail Corner, TM.
You gotta sing it again.
Bunky Dunko. Okay.
Mail Corner.
That'll be a great ringtone. Do people still have ringtones?
No. Only on the Holonet. At ACP at Zeppelin.flights, ACP at theincomparable.com for your emails, and at ACP.theincomparable.com on Blue Sky because every service has its own weird setup. Thanks. Illiterate writes in, thanks for indulging me and rolling the dice last week. I couldn't stop laughing. I'm just glad Kat rolled a high number. I'd have felt guilty if the roll was 3. That was for last week.
Got it. Thank you.
Not mail that came in about this episode.
No. I thought you had read that 2 weeks ago, but I'm good. I'm good now.
I don't think so, but it was from 4 days ago, it says.
No, I believe you. I don't think you're lying.
Mick Marr writes in, I found this at the gaming store today. I hope you're getting royalties. I'm amazed that this exists. It is, I think, an indie role-playing game called A Complicated Profession.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, well, I think we are not entitled to royalties because we stole it from a line from Star Wars, but I hope they know we exist.
A game of Hunters Turned Host by Jason Price.
Is it a Star Wars role-playing game?
No. There is a giant frog who's a chef and a robot tending...
I assume it's about bounty hunting, though, right?
No, it's about science fiction Ratatouille.
You're telling me Ratatouille is not already science fiction?
That's a documentary, Tony.
I think of it more as fantasy, but...
Okay. I was just worried you were going to say science fact.
Rats are very smart.
Yeah, but do they control people with their hair?
You've never asked them.
Yeah. Dan, can I put a rat in your head?
No. Also, it's not going to work. In the first of many messages about this one comes from listener Etienne, who writes,
Oh, God.
Kat is correct on the definition of solvency versus liquidity problems. That's SVB failure was technically a solvency crisis first, parentheses, liabilities exceeded assets, thus wiping out the equity, close parentheses, which then caused a bank run as people raced to withdraw money, i.e. a liquidity problem. I will refrain from boring you with the details of how they got into a solvency crisis.
It is actually quite interesting, but...
If you have more thoughts on places Kat has been correct, please write in.
we couldn't spend all day on the podcast, Tony. We just couldn't.
Well, no, but you could collect them and read them offline.
It makes me feel happy. Doing that for memory.
Neil writes in.
Thanks, by the way, Tan. I couldn't. Yeah, I had to look up again what happened to SVB. So thank you for that.
Neil writes in. Maybe I can be the first. And he sends a link to McSweeney's and all of the articles tagged Indiana Jones.
Yes,
because I believe we were referring to that last week. Look,
you said that to me, Dan?
Yes, which includes Indiana Jones and the Lobby of Hobby, Indiana Jones and cleaning out your parents' house. And the one that I think I was thinking of, which was back from yet another globetrotting adventure, Indiana Jones checks his mail and discovers that his bid for tenure has been denied. That is a classic one.
I have not read that.
Steve writes, Steve has some opinions, writes, sigh. Guys, come on. The Huddy's translation of Major Tom is just being more consistent than the English version. The first and second chorus end in calling home, parentheses, an E.T. Easter egg. Is Bunky Dunko actually phone home? No, I don't think so, but it was fun for a split second, right? But after verse three, the lyric shifts to coming home, very close to going home. A quick listen to the English version will confirm this. Unfortunately, most people mistakenly believe that means back to Earth and his wife, but in reality, Major Tom has had a psychotic break in seeing the totality of space and the Earth's tiny place in it, and views heading out into the black void of space as coming home. The OG German even has a mention of, it's getting cold. Sleep well, kids.
No, so I looked at an interview with it's Peter Schilling, right, who wrote this song, and I think it says that he's left it purposefully ambiguous about whether or not Major Tom makes it home.
Does he have any opinions about Huddy's?
I don't know. I haven't asked him.
So just... Dwangawanga to you.
It's Dwangawango.
Oh, my
I think the tense so changes is, when I watch this. There's a clip on online that I found that I did not post to our Discord thread, which is basically all of Bib Fortuna's lines in one supercut.
You know who posted that online? Bib Fortuna.
Oh,
very upset that I would not mention more. Look at my reel.
Okay, I'm willing. So that the listener was simply positing that the Huddy's translation is more accurate to the original German than the English that we perhaps are more familiar with.
Sure.
I'm okay.
Was it written originally in German or English?
I believe in German.
Because he is German, I want to say.
And it is Peter Schilling, right?
That's right.
No, there's definitely an interview there. I'll see if I can find that and dig it up.
Mm-hmm. Chris Wright.
I may have made it up.
You were very confident, as usual. Chris writes, listening to the last episode, I thought I would run the numbers on how much money would be in those vaults. The two U.S. mints turned out 534
I just
million,
want to say, I love our listeners.
534,362,000 in coins last year, which is $1.60 per person in the U.S., I'm assuming. According to Wikipedia, the Star Wars galaxy is 100 quadrillion beings. So 1 year production would be on the order of 160 quadrillion. Since there hasn't been a pickup for at least 30 years, there's easily 4.8 quintillion worth in those vaults.
So is this whole show a commentary on the importance of staying on the gold standard?
Well, I think the one question that isn't answered by the show is, like, I would have loved, like, a supercut back to the Republic on Coruscant being like, guys, we don't know how to fund reconstruction.
Well,
it's like,
so also,
you're never going to believe what we found.
Kat, what happens when you suddenly rediscover a mint?
So yeah, I
massive,
have
with wouldn't that rapidly destabilize your entire economy?
Massive inflation.
Yeah, exactly.
Massive inflation. So, like, they'd have to control it, like, the way they control, essentially.
So
you're
here's
suggesting that the Republic would carpet bomb at
no,
to cover this
up. This led to the World Order. Is this what you're going to say?
Well,
it led to the First Order.
So not only did it lead to the First Order, but my theory is this is how the First Order...
Economic stability is what they were promising.
This is how the First Order got enough money to turn a planet into a super weapon, because that's not cheap. And the New Republic, we never see the New Republic have any, like, like, they, it doesn't seem like things are going well.
Yeah. So also, it raised the question, those X-Wings that land there, like...
I'm sorry, you do what here?
I'm sorry. How much is here? Yeah, I think there's a really interesting story here about what happens to the batteries.
Why did the X-Wings that returned from this planet to report on things, why did they come back gold-plated? Yeah. What's going on with that?
We just need to do that to get through the barrier.
And all the pilots retired immediately? What's going on?
They hit their pensions. It's fine. Food Science writes in, I thought the de-skinned Onyx Cinder looked like a giant X-Wing with its S-foils closed. Yeah, not unlike that.
I legitimately, when it was crashed, I thought into the school at the very end, I actually thought it was an X-Wing until till Dan pointed out that in fact it was not the X-Wing.
It looks a little bit like the Normandy, which is the ship from Mass Effect. Mm. It has kind of a similar vibe to that.
There's only so many different types of spaceships. That's what I say.
Yeah. Anyways.
The Normandy, is the Normandy like a really big ship though?
It's not huge.
Okay.
No,
it's, you can, it's walk around like on it.
Yeah, yeah.
It has,
yeah,
hallways.
It has hallways. So is this.
It's like kind of like the Expanse's ship.
Yeah,
that
it's
also
a little,
has...
I'd say it's probably even a little smaller than the Rocinante, okay. But.
Are you done there, Kirk?
We didn't even talk about Star Trek. we could have
shut
talked
up,
about
nerd,
the scale
but also,
of
I have
the
another
NC-1701 original Enterprise,
but
and how big it is compared to the 1701D, and how there's some disparities in that.
Dan, what about
Dunkirk
somehow
reference?
Some...
It was a Dunkirk joke.
Oh
my
movie
God.
Of the year.
Did you just get that?
I thought you were making a Star Trek joke.
I don't know if that technically counts as a joke, but...
victory is mine.
Cool. That's... Okay. take it.
Lyle writes in, for those that have not learned of the 80s glory that is hashtag Bunky Dunko, and sends us the YouTube link. Lyle, where have you been for the last few episodes? This is literally all we've talked about.
Haven't you put that in as the intro music in recent episodes? I'm concerned about
that. I don't know what's happening. I'm sorry, Lyle. I feel like you mean well there, but yes, we're familiar with their work.
But if you want to send in the translation, Tony is still working through that.
I'm literally wearing a shirt that says Bunky Dunk on it.
One of only like five.
Yes.
I think there are six in the world right now. But
yeah.
All right. Greg wrote, not sure if you're familiar with the oral knots. I found this extremely funny and relevant to our shared interests.
The what?
Oral knots. They do a bunch of covers, like of music. They even have a Skeleton Crew cover. Like, and they've done a lot of like joke videos too. They're often Star Wars related. And this one is basically the guy doing like talking to the camera about theories, conspiracy theories about Skeleton Crew. And it's just how everything is Palpatine. It's like, John, secretly Palpatine. I think another person we haven't heard about is Wim's mom, who is obviously
secretly
Palpatine. It's pretty good. I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Somehow. I did think at one point
he breaks too, which is I think the best part of the video. You can see him like trying to do it with a straight face and he just cracks up.
I will say when they walked in the supervisor's office and that you walk in to see the giant droid, at one point I thought that was actually gonna be like a cryo chamber was gonna open up,
same.
And inside
I did too.
Was
same.
Yeah. Palpatine.
There was some debate in one of the incomparable discords about is it a droid or not, but it is in dialogue called a droid. It doesn't seem like the most mobile of droids.
No,
it's like
he controls an entire city.
He just rotates. He's just got a big glowing
light.
Like
if you I was trying to figure out if the
like blue versus red light meant anything. And just as I was about to crack that code, somebody stabbed a lightsaber into it.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of the Dave Filoni. No. Who's the Kevin Feige robot?
Kevin Feige one from She-Hulk. Yes.
She-Hulk. That was good.
Yep.
That one has a hat.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how you know.
That's true. They get you.
Scott writes in two things. One, my daughter was watching Captain Marvel. Hasn't seen Skeleton Crew and likely only has seen Jude Law in Spy, asked, does he stab everyone in the back in everything he's in? The answer is no, but in many
when
does
of them, he play the good guy?
Isn't he Peter Pan in something? Or no, wait,
no,
is he Captain Hook?
He's Captain Hook.
Mr.
Ripley? No, he's not.
He's the other guy.
He's the guy Mr. Ripley takes
his place. Yes. Dickie Cunningham?
Yeah. I was reading an article about Jude Law too, and I think when his younger in his career, he played all
the just reading a copy of Jude Law Monthly.
Oh man, I was gonna say.
What can I say? He's an attractive man. No, but I think he played nicer characters when he was younger. And I think that the entire article was about the fact that like we hit peak Jude Law in 2004. It was oversaturation of Jude Law, and then it's like his career has gone on. He is now basically going to be pickier and choosier and gets these more fun, interesting roles.
Iron Man's sidekick in Sherlock Holmes.
I was gonna say he is Dr. Watson in the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes. He's also Tony. Remember him from not a good guy role, but Road to Perdition. He plays
he is not a good guy
in that one.
Yeah, no, he's not a good guy in that
AI,
one.
AI, which I never saw, the Spielberg one. I think he's a robot.
He is a robot. I believe he actually plays essentially a gigolo in that.
I think I was going to say the name of the character.
Joe or something?
Yeah. Yep.
Good stuff there. The Holiday, which Kaz mentioned before.
Oh, great movie. He does not stab anyone in the back of that, I think. No, yeah, he doesn't. He's a great character in that.
He plays young Albus Dumbledore in the Fantastic Beasts series.
Correct.
I did not say. Is he? I mean, everyone in Gattaca is kind of a jerk, but is he a villain in Gattaca?
He's the guy that they like.
He's the guy who's like in a wheelchair.
Yes, and gets copied.
He was in a car accident and they uses. Spoilers for Gattaca, a movie.
Saw like a year or two ago, but yeah.
Really?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's pretty good.
Ethan
Hawke, right?
Yeah. It's not, I mean, it's fine. I don't know. 90s sci-fi was a weird time.
Yeah. Do you guys remember The Cell?
Not well.
No, but I'm familiar with it.
Mm. Oh, here's a fun trivia question for the two of you, though.
Okay. Bring it.
What is Jude Law's first name?
Oh, Alphonsus.
Nope.
Is Jude short for something like
Frederick?
Judenza, like a credenza.
Frederick,
like a credenza.
Peter?
But
is
Jude.
it a common name or an uncommon?
It's a very common name, which is, I assume, why he went by Jude.
Is it just John Law?
John Law. Why would you change your name if your name was John Law? That's amazing.
John Jude Law. No, Michael, Peter, Daniel.
So close.
Tony.
Tony Law. Also,
Tony Law.
Pretty good.
Wait, do the other apostles. Peter, Luke.
Luke Law.
I just looked it up. I think Cat might actually get there eventually.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty common name.
Yeah.
Nathan? No.
Nope, wrong direction.
I'll give you a clue. It's one of Tony's brothers' names.
A Michael?
Yeah, not that one.
I don't think Cat can name
all. No, I don't think you can name all your
brothers. Simon?
All right, we're getting Simon.
We're getting farther away.
Oh no, you're thinking of Theodore.
You got it. Well done.
Alvin Jude Law.
Oh, little Alvin Sinclair. I was getting into troubles.
Do you want me to put you out of your misery?
I think we should stop this game.
It's a bad game.
Just checking. Are you guys
David Jude Hayworth Law?
Not a pro. Okay, yeah. Not a
very, very boring.
David Law?
Jude guys, Law, we should do a better. We should do more podcasts about what Jude Law's first name is.
All right.
Great game, guys. Love to questions.
Game.
What is someone's first name?
Yeah. All right. Ready for our next game? I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 1.48 quadrillion.
Just checking. Do you guys have oxygen in that room? Or is there... You guys have a carbon monoxide detector somewhere in that house, right?
It's going off like crazy. I shut it off.
Wednesday night. It's a different energy.
All right. We've got a few pieces of email that I'm going to read as soon as I make sure I've got all of them here. David writes, subject line.
Hi, David. David, have you ever thought about changing your name?
Are you Jude Law? Liquidity and insolvency.
Hey.
Oh, Dan, you didn't lump all the liquidity and insolvency messages together?
Nah, I'm being lazy today. Happy New Year, Tony. I don't know why only you got Happy New Year.
I think I do know why. I think at one point somebody wished Happy New Year to Dan and Kat. And I was like, what? No, Tony.
Me?
So I think I remember that.
Love the last episode and looking forward to see how Skeleton Crew lands. This is in advance of this week's episode. Obviously, as far as liquidity goes, and then I'm instructed to do this in a Cliff Clavin voice, which I'm not sure if
who's
I can do or not.
Cliff Clavin?
He's from a historical television show called Cheers.
You see there, Norm.
Cat, do not look at me like you've never heard of the TV show Cheers. You live in the Boston area.
Yeah, you see there, Nami. Liquidity in your currency is what you have when the coefficient of friction is so low that a stack of credits pours like water when you touch it. Insolvency is when you can't dissolve anything in the coins because the metal's too hard. That was not a great Cliff Clavin.
It was
I
not
apologize.
Bad. Were you practicing all week?
No.
That was doing more spot. Quote unquote research?
I'm just going to say, Dan, that was better than many of your NPCs in Total Party.
Which is funny because all my NPCs are Cliff Clavin.
Which is somehow both a compliment and a put down in one.
That's your specialty.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for sharing your experiences on another Star Wars show, Food Science Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Bill writes in with the subject line, Huttie's Bibles. When Kat came up with Huttie's Bible, I immediately thought, oh, that's like a Tijuana Bible in space. Probably leave it to listeners to Google Tijuana Bible on their own, but please don't do it at work. I love the increasing amount of chaos on the show. Keep on dunking in the bunky world, space friends. Love from Billow. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Billow. Chris writes, decapitated droids. SM-33 clearly demonstrated that droids can clearly survive having their heads chopped off. We really should have realized this based on C-3PO's experiences at the Battle of Geonosis, where he gets his head knocked off.
I put it together. Context clues, Dan. Yeah. Context clues.
Now I'm a bit disappointed that Clone Wars never gave us the separatist droid hospital / repair shop where all the battle droids cruelly decapitated by Jedi get patched up and returned to service. That could be like a real dark show about the horrors of war.
It's like
Roger.
Dan,
Roger.
Dan
I can't
Kat.
See.
It's like MASH, but they're all droids.
I was thinking more like World War One. Like we got some like the Wilford Owens and the Siegfried Sassoon of battle droids.
You don't want to see like a protocol droid that sounds a lot like Hawkeye Pierce.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing an impression of that.
I would like the battle droid MASH. That would be very funny. Especially when they don't actually have any medicine.
It's not intended to be a comedy.
MASH was intended to be a comedy, right? Yeah, 100%. Yes. Yeah.
Maybe not 100.
And finally, maybe not finally, I got your Blue Sky too. almost finally. Penultimately.
No, it's not.
Listener ATN writes concluding thoughts on Skeleton Crew.
Wait, didn't we already?
I know, but
ATN
it was some of them were from last week and then some from this week, and
you didn't even put the ATN messages together.
What is this madness?
Would you like to run the mailbag?
I'm always accused of chaos. You're a little chaos muppet over here.
I'm a very large chaos muppet.
Yeah, but you're still a chaos muppet.
Hi, Dan, Kat, and Tony. I'll keep it brief this time.
Chaos muppets.
Looking back at the season, episode 4, the At Akron Child Soldiers episode.
Sorry, what was the first sentence there?
Hi, Dan, Kat, and Tony.
Okay, thank you. I missed the second sentence then.
I'll keep it brief this time.
What's the third
thank
sentence? Because I don't think you finished it.
Semicolon. Looking back at the season, episode 4, the At Akron Child Soldiers episode, stands out to me as the weakest. The
Can
tone
you go back to the start?
Is just so jarringly different. This is like our child asking me to go back to the start of singing Deck
help
the Halls.
Help me.
Stands out to me as the weakest. The tone is just so jarringly different with the space pirate goofy hijinks of the rest of the season. If the narrative purpose of the episode was A, to find out the location of Renud's pirate lair, and B, that Atten has a turbo laser mounted on the roof of the school, exclamation point, I suspect there were other ways they could have achieved the same outcome. We'd love to hear you revisit your thoughts on the total consistency now that the season is concluded. Barring that one episode, I'd rate Skeleton Crew as the number 2 or number 3 live action Star Wars show, with Andor clearly still number 1. Again, thanks for a wonderful season. May the Force be with you.
Yeah, totally agree, Etienne. I think we've talked on the show of like, that was, agree overall, but that was definitely the one episode a little tonally out. And I do wonder if they can make it, have made it a little more goofy. And it feels like, I am sure there's a way to make Child Soldiers goofy. I just don't know what it is. Or maybe just do something else rather than Child Soldiers. But I feel like we could have done that. I agree. 100%
I mean,
agree.
It's weird because, you know, you get the structure of the episode. They want to go to a planet that they think is at Atten, and it's not, and stuff is bad there, and they're going to get a clue, and SM-33 is going to be revealed what's going on, a Jod will be separated. And you feel like you have all those parts, and you could have done a million things with that. And then what they showed us is just, I don't know, it does not feel of a piece with the other the thing. So I don't know, it's like they lost a step there in terms of like what kind of show. And especially because the episode after it, that's the spa episode, right? Well, it's such a delight that it's like, yes, this is the show we are watching that
but
we want to watch.
Following episode, the Trash Crab episode also has some dark tones. So I think
you can do that.
You could probably still have kept what they did, but I think they could have made it a little lighter.
But there's a difference between darkness in terms of child soldiers versus scary crab monster or even the incinerator, which you like, you compared to like Toy Story, right? Like it's it's very of that versus child soldier. No matter how much you parkour up a child soldier, there's still a child soldier.
There's some other weird missteps in that episode too. Like looking back, there's the scene where Jod, you know, brings up the Eopies that he's got and like all the kids hug him and they're so glad to see him. And I feel like, you want to make his heel turn more like devastating later, but it felt like they could have gone further down that
Made him
maybe
even nicer or like
or just, I don't know, like, I don't
know. He wanders off and then comes back with stuff. And he's like, and there's like two lines of dialogue about like, why didn't you show us that? Right.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a weird episode. I think, unfortunately, it's hard because in an 8-episode show, you don't have a lot of, like, in a 22-episode season, you get some stinkers, right? And it's fine. You move on. In an 8-episode show, all your episodes have to be pretty good.
I'd like to start a new segment rather than like, could this have been a TV show or could this have been a movie? I feel like, Dan, you have real, like, this could have been an email vibe. Like, could this TV show have been an email? I'm teasing you.
I don't want to watch any shows that could have been an email.
let's drill down on some agenda items.
We'll circle back later.
A couple quick messages came in on Blue Sky. The Pomegranate County Irregulars. That's a heck of a name, writes, call me Dan about the episode. Yes, insolvency and illiquid were explained correctly. I've been a bookkeeper at Basic Accounting and worked at a savings and loan during the late 80s crisis.
Ooh,
wow.
You're too qualified to be listening to this show.
Yeah. Why don't you have a podcast?
Hidden Jester writes, I hope I haven't pitched my Lando TV show to you previously. I want to have a framing device of Billy Dee Williams as Lando playing Sabacc in some resistance hangar in the sequel era. He opens, I'll tell you about the time we dissolved Donald Glover in media res.
Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Yeah.
That would be fun. That actually would be, I think, a really fun way to do it. You could also do them like somewhat sporadically of just like, you could do an episode once a year, like a Christmas episode.
Occurred to me, is Young Indiana Jones isn't canon, is it?
It was, because Harrison Ford was in an episode.
Are you telling me the Indiana Jones world stuff all cares about canon?
It kind of, I don't know, but it's not possible with Dial of Destiny.
What about
the ending of Dial?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
How does it end again with Dial of Destiny?
Spoilers. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Does he go back?
Yeah, everything's fine.
He goes back?
Yeah, everything is fine. At the end, it stabilizes because he's got to be. He shows up in the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. Like most of it's a lot of it's framed by him as like a 90-year-old.
I will say the book series for Young Indiana Jones was like one of my favorite book series as a kid.
I did read a bunch of those too.
They were
I haven't read any.
Yeah, I mean they were. I feel like they were the same kind of stuff you would read when you're reading like Hardy Boys and other.
Yeah, it was. I was fourth grade. They were awesome.
Yeah, you know, things where people solve mysteries and but his was slightly more grave robbing. Yeah, yeah,
just marginally more grave robbing.
Marginally
just
more.
A little bit. It's no child soldier.
It's just, a skoosh.
John writes,
a soupçon of grave robbing.
You don't want a supersonic creep rubbing. It smells a lot. John writes, I really wonder if the Deus Ex Machina can be anything other than a Jedi-ish character in an X-Wing showing up, or will they subvert it? The show has been a fun Goonies romp so far, but they have been showing the X-Wings equal savior a lot. Their ship now is even an X-Wing-shaped transport. I mean, you've seen the last episode by now, but yeah, the X-Wings do show up at the end, but there's still, the only Jedi is a bad Jedi, but not really a bad Jedi, just kind of a bad guy who has a lightsaber.
And again, I really do like the decision, though. I said this last time too, but I'll say it again. Of like, I really do like that they gave us a different. It's not the typical bad guy. It's good. It's really good. Sorry,
and I forget. Did we establish he probably wasn't a Padawan?
No, it didn't sound. So it sounds like he was picked up after Order 66.
He got Jedi homeschooled.
Yes,
but not for very long.
Not for very long.
Maybe like a couple weeks.
And they were real intentional there about not naming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll show up with Ahsoka?
All roads lead to Ahsoka.
Finally. Noel writes, I would like to personally verify the fact that Dunkin' Donuts exists internationally.
Many
locations here in the Netherlands are going through some version of bankruptcy. I am also qualified to report the existence of one in the Copenhagen train station. It is not good.
I have bad news for the ones here in Boston as well.
Yeah, I have bad news for you. If you ever travel to the U.S., you're not missing it. You know, it's fine. They're everywhere.
They're better than Starbucks.
Well, they're different. I mean, You know, every now and then somebody I encounter somebody who moves to Boston and they're like, oh, the coffee from Dunkin' Donuts is so bad. It's like, somebody else once described to me, it's commuter coffee. It's just wet, hot caffeine that you drink.
You don't
drink it to like enjoy it. You drink it to stay alive.
Yeah, but there's clearly a gradient of coffees, and I have it well established here. I think there's the worst coffee is gas station coffee.
Oh yeah,
because gas station coffee usually tastes like hot dogs.
And I will say in an endorsement of our free market system, I feel like the continuity between like Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, and gas station coffee, they are at least appropriately priced for what you get. Gas station coffee, $1, and there's a reason.
There's a reason. And I will say, I exclude Wawa from this. Wawa is a different world. Wawa is, I think, fine coffee. Then I think above that is like McDonald's coffee, which is...
also probably like $1.
It's weak coffee, typically. And then Dunkin' is above that. It is very hot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep,
but Starbucks just always tastes burnt to me, and so I think Starbucks is the worst of the coffees. And after that, I guess boutique-y coffee.
I rarely actually get coffee from Starbucks, so yeah,
it's not good.
Yeah, no, I mean it's a chain. It's fast food. I'm not going to say anything about the food from Dunkin' Donuts because like what do you expect, people? Every now and then, we were learning about Dunkin' Donuts in Copenhagen.
That's right. Thank you.
This is still on topic. You just forgot what we were doing. I'm just going to say I've traveled with Dan a lot. Every now and then I've been with Dan when he's gotten a bagel from Dunkin' Donuts and he's so sad.
It is. And it's like disgusting.
It's not a bagel. It's just round bread.
Even calling it round bread is generous. It's like rubber molded into a bagel shape.
Yeah, it is. It is Taurus shaped carbs. That's all it is.
It's really not great.
Yeah. Yeah. For legal purposes, they have to spell it bagel with four L's or something.
I should just eat a donut at that point. Let's be honest.
I don't know why you don't, Dan. Yeah, but you've got a lot to figure out. New life goals
starting tomorrow.
Eat more donuts.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the Bunky Dunko mailbag.
Mail corner. And you have to sing it. You have to sing it.
You are worse than our child.
About the same.
No, usually our child tells us to stop singing.
I've heard you sing. It's so fair. You know. Everyone's a critic.
Yep. Are you waiting for me to sing this?
Yes.
I hate this so much. Bunky Dunko.
Mail corner. I think he sings better when he's full of hate. Let it flow through you, Dan. Yes.
Yeah,
the
memoir about how my famous singing career starts as a Sith. Anyway, we've reached the end of another season of Star Wars.
It's true.
We will be back in April. Andor season 2 debuts. Yes. However,
and not anywhere in between.
We may appear in between.
Oh no.
Somehow a complicated profession has returned. We will have at least one member special showing up.
Dan, are we prepared to announce what that member special will be?
I think we are.
I think so too.
Tony, do you want to do the honors?
Do you think so?
Cat's doing it. Who's doing it?
I don't know how to do it. Let's not have Cat do it.
I'll do it. Wait. Whoa. What's that sexist BS?
Tony, do you think that Cat can remember the name of what we're going to do?
No, but I'm prepared to derail. I don't think I should do it. I'm mainly here to derail things. But you know what? I think that Cat should do it now.
All right, Cat. What's the member special going to be about?
Just let you know. Nobody's expecting a lot here. Go for it.
So also there's incredible power here because, yeah, I know what we're supposed to do, but if I make up something else, have I committed us to something else? Damage to edit it. It's fine.
No, you have not.
The three of us, are going to play as one a video game.
Okay, so far so good.
Monkey Treasure.
Missed it by that much.
I did not think that you would both somehow manage to come so close and yet so far, because it's a version of Muppet Treasure Island, but there's just monkeys instead.
We are going to play The Secret of Monkey Island, the 1990. You were pretty close, except for the part where you were wrong. A 34-year-old graphic adventure game. How can three people play a computer game together? Unclear. We're going to do
especially
it,
especially when one of them has played this game multiple times and knows all the answers.
Yeah, clearly, I'm not going to be allowed to do stuff. Also, how will that work as a podcast? We have ideas, but mainly unclear. Is there going to be a lot of shouting? Almost certainly. Will we finish the game? No.
No.
Will we complete the three pirate trials?
Wait, there are three trials?
Yeah, there are three. Unlikely. But I'm hoping for one or two of them.
All right. Yeah.
Tune in. It should be fun.
If you want to hear this madness that it will surely be, you can do that by signing up to become a member of The Incomparable. Go to theincomparable.com/members where you can choose which level you'd like to support the network and which shows specifically you'd like to give your support to. We'd love it if you gave your support to A Complicated Profession.
Technically, if we endorse you to sign up for another show, that would be confusing.
Yeah.
Please. But do whatever you want. Dan has other shows.
Yeah, we appreciate that a lot. We appreciate the support of all our members. And we are very excited to be back to talk about Andor and very excited to play Monkey Island together.
And if you're thinking like, hey, where would I get a shirt that said Bunky Dunko in a confusing logo? HelloNerds.shop.
And if you, if you weren't happy enough with our discussion of Dunkin' Donuts and want a Bunky Dunko shirt,
walk into your nearest Dunkin' Donuts, you will be sued.
Demand
and be
a Bunky Dunko shirt from your nearest Dunkin' Donuts.
Do not leave until they give you one. They cannot arrest you. They will arrest you, but those are people. Those are illusions. Persist.
So I will say, right before this, we started this podcast, I think related to the t-shirts, we were talking about do we have a giveaway, Tony? Did we figure that out?
No.
Okay,
I got a good trivia question then that I think is related.
Okay. Do you have a trivia question?
Should we preamble this the point?
Yes. Look, you've been listening to us for a long time, probably too long. Hours you can never get back. Hours you could have spent with your family, with yourself, reading, developing yourself, learning, growing as a person, maybe at least getting outside. And we would like to reward you. Not all of you. There's too many. I mean, there's not a lot, but we would like to reward one of you. One of you will get a code for a free shirt from Cotton Bureau.
And it doesn't even have to be for a Bunky Dunko shirt, right?
It doesn't have to be a Bunky Dunko shirt. We would recommend that, but we can't require that. But in order to get the code for that, you will need to correctly be the first person to write to Dan.
I would actually recommend that we give do like a week and then we do a raffle.
Oh, that's no. Gets much. No, no.
First person to write it?
First person. Okay. First
Dan,
person.
Dan's not going to do that.
I will be judging this based on.
Kat, no. Think about who Dan is.
Yeah. We don't
first person to write in. Okay. Then I say the question is first person to write in to say.
Wait, I've got. I'm
okay. Keep going. Keep going.
You know, the best contests are just kind of decided
ad hoc.
On the fly. Yeah. Ad hoc. Yeah.
All right. First person to write in, you can submit your answers via acp@theincomparable.com or on Mastodon or Blue Sky. But I'm just going to be looking at timestamps. That's how I'm going to be doing it. Timestamps for me.
Incredibly reasonable way to do it.
And the question is. Where was the first Dunkin' Donuts? Is that a good question?
I think so.
Specifically, city.
Yes, city. City and state and year of the first.
Oh, city, state, and year.
Of the first ever Dunkin' Donuts. I'm going to go look this up to make sure I actually know it.
I used to know it.
I know where one of the earliest ones is.
Yep. I think it's still open or it recently closed, but anyway.
It was a while ago.
But we won't name it.
Yeah.
It's who is going to pull their car over the side of the road and Google this the fastest. And wants
if you just know it and yell it aloud in your car, I will know.
Yeah, I think there's pretty much general universal agreement that it is in fact the one I thought it was, and we do have
a very clear
year.
Thank you for doing the research after you post the question.
If we change the question now, do you think people will have already written in with the answer to it?
Offer not valid in Tennessee.
Sorry, Tennessee. All right.
Would you like to do a different question instead?
Nope.
Nope.
We have reached the end of this episode covering Skeleton Crew. Thank you so much, everybody out there, for listening to all of our coverage. or any portion of it that you actually listen to. We do appreciate it. As I said, we appreciate our members, especially, and we appreciate everybody who writes in, whether or not it's with a trivia question answer. Most of all, I appreciate my co-host, without whom doing this would be not... Hold on, I messed up my sentence construction. Without whom doing this would not... You. I feel like I ended up with a double negative in there.
What's the Bilbo Baggins like? I don't like nearly...
Half of you as much as you deserve, and I can't remember either. It's something like that. Anyway. Thank you for being here, Kat Benish.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you all for listening. Tony and Dan, thank you for just, you know, being you. It's been fun.
If I weren't me, who else would I be? Tony Sindelar, thank you for being here every week.
Thank you for having me. Goodbye, nerds.
Bye.
And thank you, listeners. We'll be back in a couple months with coverage of Andor. If you are a member, check out our member specials when they drop. You can find us on all those social medias. As mentioned earlier, we will see you next time. But until then,
may the squigs be with you.
You can't do this every time.
No, but the squigs are coming.
The squigs are coming. May the force be with you. Podcasting is a complicated profession, which is why we're here to discuss Skeleton Crew, which has just finished its run on Disney Plus. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my fellow dad's class 7 supervisor. No, shoot. Level 7 systems coordinator.
Run the top. Take it again.
Okay. I don't remember what his job was.
Also, apparently his job is less financial related than we.
Someone's got to coordinate systems.
I still don't know what any of their jobs are and why they need them.
I don't think you're supposed to know, but I was just, mainly I was surprised that it had any relevance to docking clamps. I just thought it would be like, I don't know,
he's a level 7 systems engineer.
So he's slightly more of a janitor.
Systems engineering is a real thing.
I'm not saying it's not a real thing, I'm saying that I don't think that was his job.
Okay, listeners, if you are a systems engineer and you need to defend...
Is this the show?
You told Dan to start over, and then you haven't given him a chance yet.
Of course not.
Okay. Am I starting over?
No,
okay.
Keep going. Do it live.
Oh my God. It's not live. It's edited. That's the point.
You don't edit this.
I could. Podcasting is a complicated...
Are we actually starting over?
Oh my God, Kat. I don't know. I'm supposed to put this at the end, as usual.
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.